Here we are, Joss Whedon. I have a question for you.
What, Nathan Fillion?
Firefly.
Firefly.
Yes, what were you thinking?
You know, I was really stoned. And I look back now and I realize it was wrong to be that stoned. Well, this is it. This is the pilot.
This was a reshoot, this scene.
This was one of the last things we did shoot because, and I believe it's on the DVD, originally this scene started with the existential hell of a miserable person and why he wanted everybody to die, and apparently that wasn't up enough.
Right. So we did this instead.
Which was fun to shoot because many explosions.
That first bit was outside. This bit was a couple days later.
All interior to match. And this is all, well, gosh, we sort of have to go back to the beginning because this is the very first. This is, you know, Nathan here, Captain Mal Reynolds, when he's still a sergeant.
A kinder, gentler Mal.
Yeah, sort of being a man of faith and a man of action and making heroic speeches and just and getting a chance to see who he was before he had everything taken away from him, which will happen in about 3 minutes' time. We wanted to start with a bang, and also, and this is something I think I said in the interviews, rather than start a show where we have a closed-off kind of angry person and we gradually find out why, start with somebody wonderful and know right away why he becomes as uncompromising as he does later on, which we compromised on.
So we meet him as he once was.
Yes, yes.
I like it. You're a smart guy, man.
You know, I
get what people say. This part here.
Yeah.
Gina.
Homely girl.
Really, yeah. Too bad about her face.
A little midgety kind of a gal. But and, you know, unconvincing as a soldier. Now she pops back up and we're back outside.
Now, do you remember, right before we started filming there, this was the second or third time I split my pants.
Yes.
My tight pants.
Yes. Were you, in fact, wearing under shorts of any kind?
I'm sure I was, because there's a lot of dust involved in these types of... Anytime you roll around the ground, I come home with a butt full of dirt.
You did bend... Well, okay. You did bend over and split the pants pretty effectively.
Yeah.
And then have to change them behind a rock.
Something. I'm convinced the wardrobe ladies pre-split the seams in some way.
Yes, they did. They did, Nathan. They didn't know you were going to have a nude scene later, so... They were all excited.
Now, this gun... Big double barrel 50 millimeter cannon here. This thing was loaded up. It was so loud.
Oh, you had so much fun.
I did. The blast, the muzzle flash out of here felt like someone was slapping me in the face. It was raising the dust for about 10 feet in radius around the whole gun.
Yeah, I just remember how the look on your face when you actually finished firing it.
Oops.
A little exciting.
Sweet.
Lonnie turns into action.
Wonderful effects, thanks to Lonnie.
Yeah, and a huge explosion singed me, like, to the eyebrow.
Yeah, you could feel the heat.
I was standing a little close.
You could feel the heat.
That's when we blew up Sunnydale High, if I had quite so much fun.
You like to blow things up, don't you?
You know, call me old-fashioned. But I just do. I don't actually, in the narrative, I'm like, oh, explosions, that's not human drama. But then I actually am near one. They're so pretty. I can't help it.
It's quite exciting.
I don't know. Should we start? Where should we start? There's so much to talk about, really. Not about Firefly, really, just stuff. How you been?
Good, thanks. Thanks. We went to the award show last night. There was the Saturn Awards.
Yeah, I believe that now Nathan Fillion is the face of the future in science fiction.
I'm actually, for you folks at home, I'm wearing my Saturn Award around my neck.
It's sad because he actually won it for Two Guys and a Girl and not Firefly. And I take that as a diss, a kind of a diss. I love to watch the boy here because he gives me everything. He gives me my humor. He gives me my hero. He's a big giant Western star who's also a goofy comedy star. And that's exactly what I need. And I'm just going to say it.
Who are we talking about now?
Gina again.
Right. Here's the moment.
Here it is. This is the moment where Mal loses everything.
It all falls apart for him.
And he gives up hope and becomes a bad man.
I remember filming this. I was concentrating very hard on not blinking while he was being squibbed.
You did blink. We took it out with CGI.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. It was just one tiny blink, and they just removed it. We did the same thing with Joyce, Christine Sutherland, when she was dead in a bag in the body.
Did you really?
Yeah. She, while they zipped up the bag, she blinked once, and they took it out.
I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. This was exciting because we did a huge amount of harness and wire work to get this sequence. And
always my favorite.
Yeah, Nathan Kroenke, like a seventh-year TV star.
I tell you, Firefly, best job I've ever had. Every day I go in, happy as can be. You want to see me, Kroenke, put me in a suit and put me on some wires.
And the other, you know, dramatic irony there is that we used about 0.8 of a second of the wire work, and the rest of it is just them standing around swaying.
Exactly.
They're like, what if we just do this? I'm like, hey, that looks better. Okay, that was wire.
And, upside down. And hanging upside
this,
down.
This was nice.
That was even easier than hanging right side up.
And it's not like we made you wait a long time for anything. All of a sudden I was like, oh, Nathan is an actor. No, I didn't think that. I've never thought you were an actor.
Now, this was
the reveal of Serenity, which unfortunately is the exact same color as everything else around it. A constant argument.
Really?
Yeah, that was a big thing with the CGI guys. It was always like, make something else a different color, because everything kind of came out gray.
I like that, though.
Well, you know, you just want to be able to, you know, highlight
distinguish it.
Yeah, punctuate.
But for fans, I think it makes it a little easier to, a little more interesting that fans will detect the shape of Serenity.
Yes. Obviously, very low-budget dinosaur sequence. We just ran out of money.
Yes.
And we wanted to have a world with dinosaurs on it, but all we had was Alan. And, you know.
But he's good.
You know, but not dinosaur good.
More Teddy Ruxpin good.
Yeah, yeah. Which is high praise indeed. So over here comes some of your exciting Chinese.
Right.
Yeah.
This was a challenge to Chinese.
That whole thing of, oh, the cultures have meshed and everybody can speak Chinese. I don't think apart from harness work, I don't think the actors hated me more for anything than the Chinese. And the constant sexual harassment.
I was always interested in the kinds of things you'd have us say in Chinese. I remember one line I had was the explosive diarrhea of an elephant.
I believe I mentioned that very line, yes. And Alan had one that was Mother of God and all her wacky nephews.
Yes, you're always going for the highbrow humor.
Yes, I'm an artist with an E and a beret.
Tell me about this Alliance ship.
The Alliance ship, a couple things with this. One was the idea of vertical. The idea of instead of every ship you see is, you know, the long. If you wanted to build something that looked like a city, you know, that floated in a way that seemed inefficient because the Alliance kind of is. And then we filmed it very, you know, here everything is zoom lens and handheld and lived in and of the moment, which is a whole mission statement for the show.
Right.
Except when we went on the the Alliance ship, which this one is the Dortmunder, everything becomes very tracking and Steadicam and art, sort of, you know, Star Trek and
a little grand, smoother.
Yeah, old school sci-fi, because these guys are, you know, a little square.
That thing is monolithic, isn't it, too?
Yeah.
And in our first meeting, I remember you telling me that all the bad guys are going to wear hats.
Yeah, the good guys don't wear hats. You know, I've never forgiven John Wayne for taking Henry Fonda's hat at the end of Fort Apache.
It's scarred you for life.
It did. And also hats, they made me look heavy. So this, by the way, is Andy Ensor, who was our first hat trick. He plays D'Hoffrin, the vengeance demon on Buffy.
Oh.
And he also played a guy whose hands and eyes and things could come apart on Angel. So he came in and did me a solid.
I loved him on Buffy.
Yes, he's very funny.
He looks much different.
Yes.
We did this even on another day. This was further
along. And we shot a lot of effects at the last minute, you know, trying to make the sequence as exciting as possible. It took about 9 passes to get that, the coffee can they mistake for a giant ship. Just to get the visual information from the CGI guys of, you know, because there was, you know, because they were like, well, put it in front of this really cool planet, and there'll be all these things going on, and they love to do that. They're like, let's fill the frame with tons of exciting things. I'm like, we have one piece of information that we need to get across, and then we can do something exciting.
Right. Well, they're creative. Yes. They are creative minds.
They are extraordinary. But like all creative minds, they must be slapped down.
This ship.
Yes.
Beautiful. I love that, what do you call that little spinning portion?
I call it the spinny thing.
Good.
Not spinning portion. Don't you know any science?
Dumbass Nathan.
Sad.
They're rabbiting, sir. Should we continue?
I love that Serenity had its own light sources on it.
Yes. Right, on the inside, you mean? Or on the outside?
On the outside. Yeah. So it wasn't so like in a spotlight of some kind.
Yes.
Nether regions of space.
Well, it's all very, very realistic. Except for the incredibly fantastical bits. And the introduction of the inside of the ship. One of the most beautiful sets I'll ever work on.
Yeah.
Carrie Meyer, ladies and gentlemen.
I remember walking into the cargo bay the first time thinking, how long will it take for this space to become small?
Yeah.
To feel small.
Yeah,
and it never did.
It would take about 3 years, and we didn't get 3 years.
No, not quite.
Ah. Now, let's have the bouncing ball on everybody sing along.
Get out, Stan.
Well, you're actually listening to it.
I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. It took me two or three times. Shut up. It took me two or three times to get on board with the tune. Listening to it on its own.
Uh huh.
But
you mean before we did this recording or this recording of it?
Even this, I can't even remember what I was listening to the first couple times, but seeing it with this opening credit sequence, that just made it for me.
Yeah, I've talked about wanting to make it even simpler. Wanting it to be like just, you know, back scratchy back porch guitar.
Right.
So it's sort of serving two masters.
Love this shot.
Yes. Are you cheating? Oh, but you know, you'll have said it first.
This
so
I love.
He'll come off as the cheater. Yes.
Inside thing here. Every time Adam busted that box open with that crowbar, he cut my arm open.
Really?
Yeah.
Purposefully, too.
I'm wondering.
Angry.
There was a couple.
Angry man.
Yeah.
Adam Baldwin.
I'm going to talk to him about that.
Yeah.
I'll say. But we best be getting rid of these before we run into another Alliance patrol.
This is one of the first days the bunch of us were together.
Yeah. This was one of the first days. What was the very first day?
The very first day was Sean Marr and I up on the catwalk.
Right,
overhead.
Good Lord, I'm
saying
the
you
first
killed Kaylee.
I remember that.
Yes.
Yes. There was a very specific reason why that was the first day.
Why?
I'll get to that when we get there.
Please.
Contact Badger, tell him the job's done. Don't go to mentioning the cruiser, though.
I remember that day we thought my contact lenses were a problem.
Yes, very first
I pulled them out and threw them off the edge of it.
I was like, I'm picking up a reflection or something. Then it turned out you were just emoting. So I felt kind of like a heel.
Yeah, that's me acting.
Yeah, sorry.
Right.
My bad. Didn't know it was going to be all wet.
I love this little bit.
Not to mention the money.
Pain in the ass.
No, Chiny. I like to meet new people. They've all got stories.
Can you stop from being cheerful, please?
I don't believe there's a power in the verse.
We reshot this shot here, where we put it in, to make things more physicalized, more increase the peril. That was one of the reshoot mission statements, besides making you less cranky, although she kisses you and says, I love my captain, and Kaylee is kind of the heart of the piece. That is to say, when she believes a thing, I believe it. When Jewel says, this person is a good person, I'm like, yes, because you think so. She's got that Allison Hannigan thing.
She's
when
got
her
that
heart is broken.
The purest heart.
And that's what Kaylee's supposed to be. She's supposed to be the soul of the ship. So we're shooting. This was a little bit later in shooting, I know, because we're shooting for a while. And I'm like, over two shot. This was supposed to be interesting, and I've been shooting in a really boring fashion. So I took this scene, and I said, maybe the scene would be more interesting rather than going in for the intimacy. Sort of overheard because they're doing it, and let's just sort of pretend we're Robert Altman.
It is a little voyeuristic,
yeah, and just sort of feel it, and you know. But then of course the note came back. There's no intimacy between the two of them, and I was like, well, that's because they didn't shoot it yet. They actually have extraordinary chemistry. Now we're into more reshoots. You over there are reshot. They are not.
Yes.
They are here, I think. And this is so that your attitude towards Inara would show that you were kinder towards her, because you're very uncompromising about her.
Yeah, a little acerbic. A little, yeah. Is that the correct word?
Yes, yeah. But here you mention her making an honest living, which is a nice way to introduce also the fact that what she does for a living is this.
And legal. Now, tell us a little bit about...
I'm busy. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. What? Now that, you know, the actual blurring of the lens to represent the orgasm is one of my more literal. Oh, okay. That the Chinese symbol on the bottom of that box there,
yes,
is the symbol for short interval. This is how much, like David Conant's a set dresser and people, this is how much they cared.
That's brilliant.
They had the beautiful floating hourglass in the box, and they put that in.
I did a number of episodes of Firefly, and I never knew that.
Yeah. There you go.
This fellow was good. One thing I really appreciate about how the show was cast was the guest cast.
Yeah, you know, I was talking about how lucky we got.
I was consistently very few exceptions happy with, because your show could only be as good as your guests.
Well, if your star sucks, I would say that, you know, you're really only going to go about 11 episodes. I'm not saying anything.
A bad guest will bring everything down, man. A bad guest will bring everything down.
No, it's so true. It's so true. We got really lucky. We had some really sweet, good people. And this guy, poor fella, I mean, he hadn't done that much work. And then it's like, okay, get on top of Morena.
Yeah.
Welcome, good to meet you.
Yeah,
here's
your
makeup.
Pants.
Drop trow and get on Morena. And he was a trooper.
Let's talk about Morena for a moment.
Homely girl. I'm just going to say that about everybody.
What a beautiful girl.
Oh, you've just destroyed my whole run about her being homely.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She is kind of an extraordinary presence. She has so much dignity. And she's the perfect combination of youth and age. She seems older than her years. You believe that she's been, you know, she's a woman who totally takes care of herself, even though she's
and of higher education.
Yes. Which she is. She's Juilliard trained.
That's
like Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, she doesn't mess around when it comes to acting.
You could stand to learn a thing or two from these Juilliard students.
I'll poke at her here, though. The steering wheel's upside down.
She also drank most of the time on the set, so that was a problem. But, you know, we turned it into an opportunity. The star of the show, Chicken. Here comes the Chicken. Sweet.
Now, from what I hear, David Boreanaz would not have that.
No, David Boreanaz is not fond of chickens.
He's scared of chickens.
Afraid would be the word. Yes. Okay. More frightened, I think, than afraid.
Right.
But in fact, you know, we wanted him. He was going to do two shows at once, but he read the script, he heard about the chickens.
And he was out.
He said no.
I'm glad, though, because
it worked for you.
I'm in, yes.
It worked for you, not so much for me.
Right. Here we are back at the studio.
Yes. All of those extras were at the giant location. We had 300 extras. The wardrobe call that morning was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
We had 300 extras, and every single one of them was fascinating looking. And all of that stuff on the screen, that was put in later by the tech guys. And this is one of the things I keep crowing about. A handheld shot like this, you could never have done that. 2 years ago, we couldn't have done that. To burn something in on a shot that's constantly moving.
They are very clever guys.
Yeah. The special effects guys are insane geniuses.
Alan loved that mule.
Well, who wouldn't? You get to ride around on it, and he was the driver of it.
Yeah.
Good dogs.
Literally.
Dogs to eat. There's the joke. Oh, that's so cute. But also, you know, real.
That was a hot day. I remember that too.
Yes.
The chance we got, we would stand in the shade.
And a small point of interest, on this day, we still had not cast an honor. And at the end of this day, we had cast, we had cast Rebecca Gayheart, and it did not work out.
Right.
And so during this day, you know, I spoke with Amy and said I would come to her office at the end of it. And outside her office was sitting Morena. And I'm like, let's go over the list of people we might be able to use. And she's like, before we do that, I'd like you to meet this girl who just came from New York. And after she read, I was like, we're not going over that list, are we?
Oh, it was nice and dreamy like that,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, she just fell in my lap like fate. It was awesome.
Here's something I'd like to talk about. When Firefly was first coming to be, you were going to play Badger.
Yes, I had it in my head that I should play the role of Badger. We found a much prettier man who did a wonderful job, Mark Shepard.
Yeah, Mark Shepard.
And it was Adam who, about 45 minutes before he was done that day, let it slip. Nobody told him. He was playing the part that the writer had written for himself.
And as soon as he did learn,
he couldn't remember a word.
Poor guy. There was one line he had trouble remembering.
Yes. I believe it's this one.
Rogue vessel classification Firefly. was spotted pulling illegal salvage on a derelict transport.
Yeah, in all fairness, it's a tough line.
It is a tough line. But, yeah, that was the last thing he had to do with that the little paper effect, and he just, poor man. That's the terrible pressure to put on a person.
Produce, something rarely seen on Firefly.
Well, it's a big thing. And it's not just villains and fruit. Villains often have fruit. I don't know why. It's like a thing. But just, you know, not the archaic machine and the idea that this is a guy rich enough to afford a fresh apple. And just not to eat the peel. My God.
Yeah.
That he's, you know, a little higher up in the social spectrum than you punks. But this whole scene is about you guys are nothing. And, I don't think that sat too well with the network, because they wanted you guys to be something.
Right.
They wanted you to have the last word, get the better of him, do the thing, but...
Well, I feel far more interesting to be kicked.
Well, yeah, you got to be kicked so that you can get up again. And this is, you know, this is the whole thing that drives me insane, and it's the problem with a lot of fiction, is, you know, it's the Air Force One thing. He's a strong, tough president who, when the chips are down, is strong and tough. Well, that's not really an arc now, is it?
Right.
The thing about this show is we see how much he's willing to compromise, how much he's willing to take, and then we see how much he's willing not to take. I mean, we see exactly how far he can be pushed and no further, and I think that's more interesting than I am the master of all situations. Even though he's clearly, I mean, he's standing up there saying, you look down on me, and I'm bigger than you, or whatever.
Right.
And he's tiny.
I love this adversarialness about Badger, and when he returns later.
Yes.
That we have this kind of kooky, I don't like you, but we have a relationship.
Yeah, that somebody who would treat you well like this would show up again in another episode, and you're fine with it, because it's just business.
But I do business.
Yes.
We're here to do business. I love your face when he's talking about you as a man of honor, too, because I feel it. I'm like, he is a man of honor, and that, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, is acting.
I can hear you.
Oh, God.
I'm sitting right here.
This is bad. But good acting.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Really.
Thank you.
As though you're not a weasel. This is one of my favorite things. And where one of the few times I got arch with the camera. I love that line, but, you know, I really wanted to highlight it with that very sort of arch camera move when everything else is supposed to look like found footage. Big argument with the wife about that, actually. She didn't like it. She said, what is this? You're going all Moulin Rouge on me.
What?
She was. She was like, all of a sudden, the camera's zipping about for no reason. I'm like, no, it's making a point. But this umbrella, by the way, is possibly my favorite thing in the entire...
This epitomizes Kaylee for me. It's
yes.
A little parasol.
A little parasol who just knows this guy, just gets him right away, just knows he's a good person.
She's open to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly Bester the mechanic in Out of Gas.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Okay. But yeah, her little hair and her little sandals and this shot coming up. I wanted desperately to throw focus off them as much as possible, but we couldn't get far enough back because we're actually in the studio. What we had built was the entire ship and its front. So scenes that took place by the front of the ship, we had a bunch of stage, and we could shoot what looks like a big giant world right in front of the ship, and then go from that world onto the ship and go all the way through the bottom of it all in one shot, which is great.
There was actually the tank that you guys used in Alien 4.
Really?
Right underneath the cargo bay door?
Oh, the tank. Yeah, the pit. The pit, yes.
You wanted this to do an episode where the doors open up and there's a lagoon right there.
Yes, that was one of the things I had in mind for one of our... It was going to be the 16th episode, I think.
Oh,
ironically,
just missed it, too.
Ironic. Yeah, I wanted someone to run all the way to the cargo bay and then jump in the water.
Blue sun in the back.
Yes. This is... actually, you can see it in the other ones as well, in the Kaylee book scene. We started throwing in blue sun signs here in the first episode because we knew we were going to... blue sun was going to become a major factor later in the series.
Little flavors like that, stuff that you can look back
there
and sit and notice.
Yeah.
That just appeals to me.
Yeah, well, when you're building a show and a world particularly, you know, the best thing is to lay in little things, and then, you know, so that when people go back, which they do, they go, my God, they were there. And sometimes you lay in things and you're not sure. Like, I hadn't 100% figured out what I wanted to do with Blue Sun, how I wanted you guys to approach it. All I knew, it was sort of Coca-Cola and Microsoft all in one. It was every product. It was practically, you know, half the government was Blue Sun. And so I wanted it to be this sort of more and more oppressive.
Planetary conglomerate.
Yeah, exactly. And that it was connected somehow with the mystery we were all heading to. That will be revealed sometime, perhaps, in a motion picture.
Along the same lines, we touch on Reavers at this point.
Yes.
We know that Jane is a very tough, tough, fearless individual. As soon as you mention Reavers,
yeah,
he's out.
Yes.
He's got no interest. He doesn't want to be there. He's not. He doesn't want to be a part of it. Wants nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, it's to learn, you know, the Matrix rule, when you first meet Trinity, she's terrified. It's like the tough guy who's afraid of something makes whatever it is much cooler.
Exactly.
Now, we just saw the introduction of both River and of Simon.
Or Simon and the box.
The box. What's in the box? Was sort of the big mystery of the first half of this 2 hour. The advertisements that said, a girl in a box, not helping so much with the mystery of it.
Right.
I love her face when somebody gets insulted.
It's all good.
Now, this is a reshoot.
Yes.
This was to make you a little more lighthearted and, again, hit the idea that you have that problem sitting right there, that you guys have tourists right on top of cargo, illegal cargo. And I believe a Carlos double walks through because Carlos was working on something. That's
there he goes.
Why not?
See, shows that you're cute and light and funny.
That he doesn't have all the answers.
Yes.
Or all the angst. Flying a little bit by the seat of his pants. A
little bit when they don't break.
When they're all splitting on them.
And danger, 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 danger.
Dun dun dun.
Yes, we're in a
shuttle. Everything in these early sequences designed to give you the layout of the ship. Some of it we cut, like we had Dobson walking from the downstairs to the up and all this stuff, and we cut that out. But this, you know, to show conclusively, we showed her beautiful sumptuous shuttle, and then we showed that it was a shuttle. See how we go from the cockpit, then this leads down the stairs to the front, and this leads out to the ramp. So it's all.
We get a real sense of connection. The size and the layout of the ship.
It kills me that I didn't get a shot behind her of her looking out at Persephone and everybody before. But her all aboard is just so beautifully done.
This was a nice. I really enjoyed hating Sean's character in the beginning.
Yeah, it was
he played
fun.
It so very reptilian.
He plays it close to the chest, which is perfect for that character.
Meals are taken up here. Now I'm peeking in these windows, and at one point you can see my legs.
Yes, there we go. They actually built the room and the people talking. Although, quite frankly, that's where Kaylee's standing.
Right.
So, but still, the idea that that they would have that much detail is very exciting.
You're a shepherd.
This is the first indication. Originally, there was we saw you kiss the cross.
Right.
And then, so now all of a sudden, there's a shepherd, which is just basically a preacher on board, and Mal's clearly not too happy about it. Carlos Jacot is another of our hat tricks. Played a demon on both Buffy and Angel.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
I'll have to get those episodes.
His specialty, the really, really sweet guy who's kind of bumbling, who turns out to be evil. Or vice versa.
He's good. Very kind man too.
Just as sweet and funny as anybody. And we, you know, he is somebody else we would have seen more of.
That's what I was very much looking forward to.
Yeah,
I enjoyed very much recurring villains, and I was very much looking forward to Carlos coming back.
Yeah, but not so much.
No.
Alliance says jump. All right.
Yeah, no, there's nothing about Sean that I trust in these, which is great.
He asks too many questions, and he's just too probing.
And Carlos looking at her butt, very good.
Send word to patients. Ain't hurt back.
Oh, I enjoyed this bit.
Yeah.
Shoot you one time. Everybody's making a fuss.
The box. Him with the box. It's all about the carrier.
He's got some sort of intent on that box.
I wonder what it is. And so does Carlos. Did we keep the oneer here? I think we did.
But I don't fear Carlos because he's bumbling.
And trying to get that little thing in the frame and trying to, again, connect everything. And this is another thing that I think, you know, through the network is this kind of shot, you don't have time for this on a TV show. You're not allowed to do this where it's just here's everybody and here's the space and here's how they interact. But I think you need it.
Here's Moreno's first day.
Yes. This was a scene that was originally shot with another actress. But it, you know, it didn't work out. The energy was just wrong. It's such an indefinable quality. It's so hard to express.
But being there, you could certainly tell. Yeah. Moreno did bring something
Moreno
very, very different.
New. But I shot the entire scene in singles because I knew before I shot it that I was going to have to find a new actress.
You rotten bastard.
And I remember it might have been Jules saying, oh, so we'll have to reshoot the whole thing. I said, no, I shot all you guys in singles. I just need to get her angles. And she just kind of backed away from me like, you are scary. But, you know, it really is just a question of a kind of energy. And Morena's energy just meshed with you guys as though she'd been there from day one.
Yes, I'll agree.
She's so playful. She's, you know, if I were that beautiful, I'd just be haughty. I would be such a bitch. And don't get me wrong, I look good in that outfit, but it's different.
It is. It is different. It doesn't hang on you the same way.
No.
But it's a great color for you.
That's true. It brings out my chins.
Now, there's something going on there with Mal.
Yeah, well, there's a little bit of, let's use the footage where I've already said cut and you're thinking about, you know, lunch.
Yeah, I didn't
know. To make it look like regret.
Right.
Yeah.
So what am I having for lunch?
This was, for me, when somebody asked me, what is this show about? I said, it's about the strawberry. And I was deadly serious. I said that to Gail Berman. It was just like, yeah, Jewel has a way of eating a strawberry that makes me think about eating a strawberry. But it was about the tactile nature of things. I love the food in this because, you know, and because it makes things, you know, it's not, here's your blue, you know, gunk that comes from a tray.
Right.
Thing. It's like, it makes it very real. The fact that the strawberry would be the thing that got him on board, like a precious commodity, is
yes.
Lovely.
The eagerness with which everybody grabs at this produce, the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, I've worked with Atkins for a long time. Never seen so many people eat so much. You guys were amazing. Because, it was pretty tasty. There was like some risotto and
yes.
Vegetables and stuff. But, I mean, you have to eat that tomato at the end of every take.
I learned a lot something that day.
Don't eat a tomato during
exactly.
Your report.
If you're going to take a bite of something, make it a small one.
Yeah.
I punctuated. You punctuate a line with a mouthful, and you got to do it every time.
Yeah. Well, the thing about this is there were 90 million angles. Look at the way Adam holds his fork.
It's like a shovel.
Yeah. That was a deliberate decision. He's like, can I hold it? I think maybe like this. It's also something Brett Matthews pointed out, one of our writers, that you couldn't ask for a better mission statement of like the look of this show than you with your Western tin cup and your chopsticks.
Yes.
Which you were very adept with, by the way.
Oh,
a lot of Chinese takeout.
Yes. Well, there you go. You see, this is where I'm like, okay, he's a robot. You know, he's so not giving anything. And then she's so into him.
Now, David Boyd used a lot of these small tin,
sometimes
corrugated metal looking.
Sometimes they're in the frame. Doesn't matter.
Yes.
They just look like they belong there.
You'll see them often. There'll be small tin corrugated little aluminum pot holders that you'll see at an angle with a ball of tape underneath them to reflect light gently up into someone's face.
The light in this scene was some of the most specific because I said, I want the light to be coming from the light in the middle of the table. I was like, you know, the look I'm thinking of is, you know, a combination of McCabe and Mrs. Miller and Die Hard. You get those sort of Yondabont flares in the frame everywhere, but at the same time, it's got that warm kind of sourcey look, so it's not antiseptic spaceship.
Exactly.
And he really gave me exactly what I wanted, which I love exactly what I want.
This was interesting in that we learn that not all things are smooth with Jane here.
Yeah. Oh, and here's your tomato.
What do you pay him for?
Oh, and we've made fun of his ability to say the word ship. Job is. With a beautiful P sound. Because when we were editing it, we heard it 90,000 times. We're like, my God, that man can enunciate.
Now, tell us a little about this sponge bathing scene.
Yeah, the sponge bathing scene. Now, You know, it's a little arty-farty because I'm an arty guy.
Right.
Poor Marina Baccarin, one of her first jobs, and she had to do this sponge bathing scene because, first of all, character-wise, it's very cleansing. She's been insulted twice by you and by her customer. She's sort of regaining strength, but at the same time, with the sexy, we shot it, and we made jokes about, oh, we'll have to reshoot the whole thing, and then we did.
Right.
Because... it's one of the few times that, and then this shot right here would be the third time, because the first time David Boyd, the brilliant DP, he actually threw a filter on it to sort of pretty it up, which I didn't know about, and it's literally the only mistake he's ever made, because I looked at the dailies and it looked like a Calgon commercial or an Adelaide commercial. I mean, it was so soft focusy, and so I was like, well, I've lost the grittiness of it, so I had to go to Marina and say, we're going to reshoot the sponge bathing scene.
And fair enough, Marina's pretty enough, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you could throw a wide-angle, you know, a lens and a flashlight on her, and
exactly,
you're going to do fine. And the great thing about David Boyd is he trusts light, but he threw in that filter that one time. And then this scene is also one of the reshot scenes. It's reshot to be a little less dull, because I went on a dolly, so everything was very static, and it was very, it took its time, and it was, I thought it was a little dull, and we want to do a scene where she clearly had bounced back and that, you know, could take any of Mal's insults and was interested in him, and he was a decent guy, and there's his penis, and
taking a space pee.
Yeah. I like so that, you know, that reshoot, but that meant the third time she had to, you know, disrobe for the sponge bathing. I, you know, poor girl. I swear to God, it wasn't on purpose. This was very important, the toilet, and the see the curve of the ship there. It was very important to me that people understand you guys were on a ship, that everything wasn't a horizontal space, and this next shot was a mission statement shot. They created something on a track. They put the camera on a giant track that reached to the ceiling. We built that bit of the hall above the set of your room. But I was like, that's not enough. Once it comes up, I want it to go out. So they took it off the track at the bottom, hinged it out so that they could pull it up, and then at the moment that it got up, they could pull it back on a rope. Just, and the cameraman just worked it on a remote head.
They were clever men.
They were ready for anything.
They never said no.
I just said, this is the shot I want. And then when they showed me what they built, I'm like, no, I want more. And they're like, okay. And then they built more. And they just, it was extraordinary, the work that everybody did.
This is another one of the first scenes.
Yeah, this that was very filmed. Early on. And actually, I came in and reshot this just to do one more sort of handheld whip pan, find your subject kind of thing for when, after the reveal of Carlos. From the reveal of Carlos to the shooting of Kaylee. Just to sort of give it a little more energy, because I thought I had shot it in kind of a boring fashion. You guys were great, but I was like, I think I could put some more energy in this.
And you're too hard on yourself, Joss Whedon. Incidentally, this is also my audition scene.
Yes, that's true. That's true. This was the scene that... the badger scene also was
badger scene
badger
and
scene
this scene.
And this was very important, the ability to go from I'm the tough guy to just straight on funny.
Hard to fail with the dialogue.
Yeah.
Hard to fail.
Yeah. Well, when the dialogue is perfect. I don't want to say perfect so much as
I don't know who wrote it, but I'm sure they're very clever.
But again, yeah, here's another. Yeah, that was one we got later on. The whip. You have a line coming up that was very important to me, because I studied Westerns with Jeanine Basinger, the great professor, and the concept of landscape is very important. And just to use the word landscape to describe the situation sort of ties the two in together. I mean, Westerns in particular are about space. And so that was a very deliberate word. Because I wanted to, you know, make space from action. Oops, to connect the two. And that, to me, I jump every time I see that. And every time we did a take, Carlos, right after he shot her, would just be like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm a bad cop.
Cut.
Oh, I'm just a bad, I shot a girl. That was just bad.
Now, a couple of interesting things happened here. First of all, we see that Shepherd Book is a man of action.
Yeah, he beat up a cop, which, you know, is what I like in a priest.
Quite quickly and deliberately.
Yes.
We also see Jane, who earlier, having insulted Kaylee,
yes,
now is very upset.
Yeah, well, Jane clearly has a little crush on Kaylee. And we'll see another example of that. By the way, Jewel in this scene, you know, I can't say enough.
This was the first time I split my pants.
Really? I did not know that.
I split my pants. I remember having to say that.
You kept it from me.
The infirmary working? I think we took a Polaroid, though.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Well, that's nice. eBay. Is that a DVD extra? Or perhaps the naked you with a picture of me on your crotch, but that's a story for another time.
Change course.
I love the two of you squaring off here. This is the scene, by the way, that we showed at Comic-Con, too, before the show aired.
Oh, really?
People went nuts.
I want to go to one of those.
Yo, let's go next year.
Okay, so much fun.
So much fun. Everybody's so mad. She's still so innocent and sweet during the whole thing.
She's still trying to take care of
people. Shot in the belly. I did this shot to justify this shot. It was one of my more arch things, and because I was so trying to hide the camera work, and I knew I was going to do something sort of studied, I started the motion in on her so that you wouldn't be suddenly startled by the motion of the other thing. But at the end of the day, all I really needed is you guys.
Right.
Pissed off at each other. And going from her pain to your biggest close-up.
Zoe, change course.
That.
Boy, that's a big honker of a nose, isn't it?
Well, it distracts from the chin thing, but
or lack thereof. This is nice. I love this little oil slick it leaves in space.
You know, the design of the ship, the Firefly, was based on me trying to come up with a title for the show and thinking, I want something that's got motion and strength. And Firefly has both. I literally took Firefly, like I was like being that
right.
Sort of exacting, and then was like, it was perfect because it's something insignificant that has a very sort of powerful name. And then the design of the ship came from that. I was like, oh, it could have a big burning thing that at its butt, like a firefly. That's why they call it that.
Yes.
And the operation stuff. Really, again, fun to shoot. Some of my favorite thing, detail, the teddy bear that they put on her. I was like, I have to get a shot of that teddy bear. And then, you know, what's really important in frame being out of focus. Because actually what's really important in frame is her, and the teddy bear is her. This was another. What I love is the two of you not seeing that you're looking at each other. This, on the day, I said, hey, can we get Adam in here a little early? I think I have a shot that I'd like to throw in.
Those 3 seconds say a lot to me.
A lot of people talked about it.
About Kaylee, about Jane, about the crew and how they feel about what's going on right now.
No, it was very important. And again, spatially making the connection here that you can see you guys going into the next set,
right?
That it's all connected.
Where's the Fed?
And we're getting to what would have been the end of the first hour, or in reruns, because we knew that
now,
it would have to be broken up.
Right before we filmed this bit, I broke the box.
Yeah, good call, bro.
Sorry about that. So we had to kind of cut it in pieces.
And, you would kill for. Here's Summer Glau's introduction on the show. It's one of my favorite shots ever.
It was visually stunning.
It's an awkward thing to ask an actress, especially a young actress, to do. And the first thing she said to me when we took her out of the box was, dog fat? I just died. Does this cryogenic chamber make me look fat? I was like, oh, Summer. That was another great you going from tough guy to scaredy cat, which I love. I also love your reaction earlier when you're just like, huh.
Yeah, that's my favorite line in the show.
Yeah, you're confronted with the most beautiful, poetical of images, and you're just like, eh?
Just not what I was expecting.
Just
Now, Summer Glau.
Yeah.
I'll say this again. I've said it many, many times. She plays this frail, broken, little piece of human being whom you want to gather in your arms and protect and and care for, while at the same time she repels you with her craziness, her kookiness.
And that strange odor.
And the odor.
And how fat she looks in that cryogenic chamber. Fatty 2x4.
Maybe if it was darker, because black is slimming.
No, she does. A lot of people didn't know what to make of her. She has the most extraordinary quality. And that's what I loved about Objects in Space, was because the last episode, is because it was a chance for the two to become reconciled. For the craziness that would just, you know, throw people off, and the vulnerability and the sweetness, and also the strength that was underneath all that brokenness, all to come together in the same person, and for the show to say the crew accepts her. It's not, you know, it's not when I was planning to end the show, but it is a lovely grace note that, you know, this, a person who is broken becomes whole partially because the people around her decide that she is. And, you know, that's the creation of family. I think that's very beautiful. I love this sequence. Sean is so good, so compelling during a monologue that could have been, you know, so just so many words. And she's just, you know,
and doing all the intake written all over.
Oh my God, did I have to listen to this scene done badly by 40,000 young men, and pretty well by a couple of others.
What was it like meeting Sean?
You know, he just, you know, pretty in the face. That's a good start. And he came in and he just, you know, just nailed it. You know, he's a very reserved guy. He didn't, you know, he doesn't come in and he's like, how you doing? We're gonna have fun. But yeah, like you. I'm like, oh, there's my Western hero. I'm Nathan Fillion. But he had all the strength and all the caring, and there's just something, you know, there's something going on that he's not telling you about at all times. He's thinking all the time as an actor. And there was times when I was like, Sean is just, he is Simon. Because I felt like Sean was there with us just going, how did I land with these bunch of yokels? Like, and then when I would talk to him and discover that he's just totally sweet and accessible, and I really just love being around him. That, by the way, is my favorite shot. One of my favorite shots that I've ever done.
That shot says a lot about that relationship, which, by the by, is my favorite relationship on the program.
It is mine, too. It's the idea of siblings who aren't trying to kill each other is so new to me. This, the caring, just the person who gives up everything, whose whole life is defined by, I'm here to take care of this person.
That she needs me.
Yeah, and that it's not apparent. Not a parent,
right?
But her brother. I just, that's something that it's in a lot of my work in my head. Every show I do is about created family, as opposed to actual family. And you know, in the episode Safe, you know, we very much say his parents aren't there for him. Mal is. Mal's the father in that situation. It's a tale of woe. Alan, by the way. The little-known thing sells a huge amount of the gravity of situations. He did this in Objects too, just by looking upset. Like the story clearly affects him as much as anybody in the crew, and it really gives it something because he's a wacky guy,
right? So when something affects him,
yeah, and his, you know, his dramatic chops, which I got to find out mostly about in War Stories, are, you know, off the charts. He blew you off the screen.
So what?
Oh, now you have to have presence, too.
This is actually a scene I wish I could go back into, just the back bit of this.
Really?
One line, Guzve, I wish.
Which means shut up.
Right.
You do.
I don't know. I watch it, I say, you know what would have been cool is if I really would have just said, shut up.
Yeah,
like I just lost it and then gathered it back together. Just a little different flavor.
You want to play those levels. You want to find it and it keeps the integrity of the scene. And what's great is in a situation like this, you have the leeway. I've never worked like this. This show is completely different for me on 100 levels. And I've talked a lot about David Boyd and how fast he shoots and how beautifully he lights. But one of the things is nobody has ever ad-libbed on one of these shows. I mean, ever.
You don't need to.
But, well, thank you. But I hope
to hire me again.
But at the same time, you know, there's a freedom here where I'm not completely in control. Like, when this whole group gets going, if somebody's level is higher than I expect, sometimes I'll go with that. You know, if the conflict seems to be, oh, you look, Wash and Book have a dynamic. Let's get a shot. We're there because, you know, it's, I don't really know what's going to happen in every situation. If you had lost it, if you had been angrier there, you know, I would have been like, oh, you know, let's see how that goes. And I've never been that open to things before, but what trying to keep the reality and having people talk over each other and just keep it messy, part of that meant letting me be messy. And I'm a control, I'm not a control freak, I'm a control enthusiast. But this show is so freeing in that way. I think it's one of the reasons why it was so easy to write, because it was like, I will let the characters tell me what they're going to say. I'm not going to, like, figure out every detail in advance. I'm going to let them talk to me. And if some of them want to hit each other, well.
Cheap shot.
I know.
Well, but that's what I like about Mal. He'll take cheap shots.
Yeah, sure. He really will.
Saw that coming.
You know, Jane, you know, the Cordelia, if I will, of the show. Like, the person who, you know, just will say what everybody else is thinking, and therefore gets a lot of the biggest laughs, including the one coming up. This is a reshoot.
Yes,
we rearranged the sequence. This was supposed to come after the Reaver sequence.
Exactly.
So we reshot just that opening line so that it could come before. And now we're back into the old stuff. But Jane's line coming up, this was, I think, the most crucial day with me and Adam, because Adam came at it kind of big. Not that he's a smaller man, but right here.
Pain is scary.
Right there, that line, you know, he went to the villain place, which he's played a lot of villains. And my note to him was... Adam, you're Mal.
You have any idea how much trouble
you're the hero of this story, as far as you're concerned. You don't need to go big. Believe me, you're bringing big to the party. And then he came down, and he's so funny, and he so got the guy. Like, that. This was the day when he just sort of, like, he clicked, and this was very early on, I think, and he just sort of, you know, clicked onto the idea of, I'm just going to be the cool guy, and it works great.
Yes, that's one thing I very much appreciate about what Adam does with this character, is that it's no secret that Jane is somewhat of a lummox, a dumbass, but... He plays smart. He thinks he's the smartest son of a bitch.
Yes.
At Luther's base.
You know, it's the first person I ever heard say it was Willem Dafoe. In an interview years ago when I was a kid, somebody said, you know, do you like playing heroes or villains better? And he said, ain't no difference. Everybody thinks they're righteous. And that's, you know, that's something I've always taken. It's like the dumb guy with the gun, you know, standing there and has no lines. He thinks he's the hero of the story. Everybody always does, in everybody's mind. You know, everybody's got a perspective. And even if he's kind of a lummox and about to betray his captain or not, you know, whatever it is, you know, he believes that he's in the right, that he's the guy, which gives him the ability to be completely cool and, you know, be a big lummox. You know, Adam's tremendous in this. You know, one thing I was going to mention before was when you were talking about getting all angry was I watched during the first episode of Buffy, there was a moment where Sarah was on the monitor. She looked into the camera and I waved at her. And I was like, what am I doing? She's not looking at me. I'm at the monitor. And I was like, oh, she's a hero. I mean, I get it. She's a TV star. Like, she just did something to me. And when you told Jane... get away from this table during the dinner table scene. I actually backed away from the monitor. I literally took a couple of steps away from the monitor because I didn't want you to be mad at me.
And I remember you saying something about that day.
And I was like, oh my God, he's a TV star.
This was a nice moment coming up. I really enjoyed this, that regardless of who you were or what character we're looking at on the ship, as soon as you say Reavers,
yeah,
everyone's afraid.
Yeah, Reavers, you know, I think I describe them as the greatest characters I never created. They're like...
Did I just say Reavers or Deemers?
Well, you know, either would be appropriate.
Right.
They're not... now that...
This music and this ship.
I know. I can't comment on the music because I'm not listening. The cork board that appears at the, as we called it, people call it other things, you can't have 2 seconds of black on the Fox channel. But... I couldn't go straight to commercial. I needed a moment for the audience to go, we're going to commercial. So we put on something that would just read above black, so that the, because if it goes to black, literally there are machines that will just start the commercials. It's done by machines. So
we just went to the
darkest color that would read before, so that we'd get that second of pause before the commercials. This is one of my favorite shots, catching the two of you, him under the console. Again, vertical space is my favorite thing in the world. It just makes everything real. And all of those shots were about the ceiling or, you know, the space around the person. This is our submarine sequence. This is, our dust boat and every sequence. It's like, will they hear us? You know, and so I wanted to play, you know, underneath everybody, Jane and everyone, show, first of all, that we had ceilings all around, that this was a real space, but also the idea that outside these walls is crushing death, you know.
Right.
The way in a submarine that space is so important. And most TV sets, you know, don't have ceilings, don't have that real space. They're just boxes with the top pulled off so lights can be poured in.
Exactly.
And this isn't.
But part of your design of this ship was a lot of available light, a lot of practical lighting.
Yes, we lit the ship as we built it. Now this is interesting because we went full shark on the design of the Reaver ship. You know, we did that on purpose. This, by the way, is everyone assumes a suicide kit.
Right.
And actually, I had something a little more interesting in mind for it that I can't really speak about here. It would take too long. But it was.
Oh, you're going to be killing the fans at home. I'm sorry, folks. I'll tell you what it is. You see. No, I won't.
She's a junkie. No.
Was going to play.
It was one of those things that I was laying in for later. But right. It works perfectly in the narrative if you think, oh, she commits suicide rather than have those guys come near her. So if we never got to say it was anything else, that would be fine. But one day maybe we will. I'm never giving up hope. You know, you can't take the sky from me. Yes, you can, actually. Now, here's something that other people pointed out was, aren't these spaceships? Why are they moving so slowly? Shouldn't they be like going really, really fast?
Yeah, everybody's checking each other out. There would be just a slow circle.
Yeah, that was my excuse too. I didn't use the gee. I never thought of that because I thought that made me sound a little dumb. So I did the oh no, they slow down to circle. It's a thing. But the whole thing is, I hope they don't slow down. So really, I have no excuse. But then they didn't, and it was all good. And we got to do one of my favorite pieces again. The entire 2 hour filled with glorious surprises. The box has a girl in it. Kaylee isn't really dead.
You're a little disappointed about that.
Well, you know, this being aired last, some of the surprises kind of ruined. I mean, you really want to go on board thinking Simon's a bad guy, the box is trouble, he's, you know, the villain of the week kind of thing, and they killed the cute girl. My God, how could they do that?
Well, you can take some comfort in the fact that there's going to be some folks buying this DVD box set who aren't going to watch the pilot.
Well, I think most of the people, you know, will. So hopefully they won't turn on the commentary until after they've watched it.
Because you just blew it.
I'm spoiler boy. Oh, no. This is very important, you saying, I'm a mean old man, and her saying, you're a nice guy again. Because when Kaylee says it, it's true. And
agreed.
You know, Mal is definitely an uncompromising guy, and I think, you know, that was mistaken for angry and bitter. And although he is those things, there was so much warmth and so much caring.
I always had it in my head that crew members on Serenity represented for Mal bits of himself that he has lost or that he needs, that he can't have. Kaylee being his light side, his happy side.
Mm-hmm. She's optimistic about everything, which is the opposite of him. Yet there were two people who cared more about each other. It's that same thing. It's the idea that these people are all so connected, and that, you know, being on the ship does that to them. Now the she's dead mislead still. Oh, this is one of those. This was, I think, the scene I shot where I was like, oh God, I'm over two shot hack. I'm like, I couldn't have, you know, I should have been much more interesting with the camera. I should have done a thing. I hate camera work that calls attention to itself. You think that for no reason. This is not a scene about the camera, yet at the same time I was like, I'm shooting this like every TV hack. I was hating myself during this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this scene and I think nothing about that.
Well, I know. Well, you shouldn't be thinking about the camera anyway, but I still thought, oh, you could do better. I don't know. Come on. Shake it up a little.
This is interesting now how Mirena... Sorry, Inara is a bit of a... I wouldn't say therapist, but a counselor of sorts.
Well, you know, this is something that I didn't realize when I wrote it, which is, you know, at the end, it ends with Book, her little bit ends with Book coming to her kind of for absolution, and there's a shot of her with her hand on his head. I didn't realize that Simon comes into her shuttle to confess the same way the Book does.
Interesting.
Which is, you know, she is, as a companion, she is the sort of person who's like a psychologist and a therapist, like you said, and, you know, a counselor and almost a religious figure. Here, the very first shot. This is what we were talking about.
This is the first scene.
And notice how you are barely in frame. This was done for two reasons. We were still arguing about whether we could shoot this widescreen or not. So I made a shot that could only be broadcast widescreen. And it was also a shot that was designed to say, look at this giant set and how beautiful it is. And Gareth, the line producer, Gareth Davis, a brilliant line producer, came to me and said, I think we should start in the cargo bay and, you know, give me something that really, the first dailies they see should show them the money they're spending. That's just, you know, that's what you should do on a pilot, which I thought was really interesting.
As do I. That part of the process is a mystery to me, and that there's a science behind it and a reason science.
There's reasons behind almost everything.
Now, and this bit I love. He goes out of focus.
Do a
it
little
slows
jumpy.
Down somewhat. Little jumps, little cuts.
And then
slows
we get
down.
The slowdown of the death of Kaylee.
The soft, soulful music that you can't hear because you're not wearing your headphones.
But yeah, we went full out, like...
His face.
Just, yeah, the pain. The pain, the beauty. And then, of course, I'm full of shit.
Yeah, we all had one on Simon that day.
I love that. And then this. Just, it's so mean. It's so ornery. And the network was very much like, you know, Mal doesn't really, you know, he's not really funny. Except that one time when he's really mean to Simon. And I'm like, okay, come on, funny. Tells her she's dead. But then you give him his props. So we see the beginning of, okay, maybe this guy's got
some sort.
He saved Kaylee's life. You're down.
Listen up for bid. Put her up.
I had to explain to everybody that was the camera.
Right.
Because they kept adding beep beep noises when you touched it.
Oh, really?
No, it's the camera. He's wiping it off.
With his thumb.
With his thumb.
What a great shit.
It is. This, you know, this whole bridge, I was like, I want the cockpit. I want, like, a combination of the bridge and the cockpit. I want something that feels like Alien, the first one, where, you know, you're really jammed in there. You know, at the same time, I need enough space for... 9 characters, if I want.
Some scenes to happen.
And you know, Carrie just did a perfect job of, you know, with those two little consoles, of giving me that you're in the midst of the hardware, you're on the jet fighter, and at the same time, there was plenty of room to maneuver.
Alan Tudyk and I, in the War Stories commentary, talked about it, commented on how in front of these consoles, in the very beginning, was a lounge. There were some couches in there.
Yes, there were.
Replaced later by some control knobs.
Yeah, you mean beyond this little staircase?
Just in front of where I'm looking. Yeah,
there is a little space there beyond the little staircase. We don't, you don't see it much, except when we get behind them, and we don't get behind them much because we have to put in a star field or a green screen.
Right.
But I took out the couches because I didn't want... We have a lot of couch space, and I was like, I didn't want a comfortable space in here. I wanted this space to be about business.
Understood.
And then there's what's down those stairs is something we never established. Because you always have to have a few spaces left. Oh, that. Remember how much I pushed you?
Yes.
Be meaner, be meaner, be meaner, be meaner.
And I kept saying, to Zoe? To Gina?
And I was like, exactly. Snap at the person who you do trust more than anyone else. The person who was in the shit, I believe. In the poo with you.
You know, those computer banks that Jane is standing in front of, Adam Baldwin there. That's where I kept my... snacks, my yogurt, my hot dog.
Now we're getting into the comments. Now we're finding out the dirty truth about Nathan.
My scripts.
Yeah. Is in our path. But yeah, I was like, go to the scary place. And then when we did the presentation for the network, I used one of the earlier takes where you were much nicer. But then, you know, by the time we knew we were airing this, we knew it wasn't going to be aired first. I said, well, then let's go back to...
You're a lying, manipulating bastard.
I have no soul.
Whitefall.
Love.
Now, this shot took a couple of goes because Alan had trouble parking this thing.
Yeah. This, on stage...
He almost ran me over there.
Yeah, he really did. And then the dissolve to make the sand feel like they're of one, so you don't get that jarring kind of, look, stage sand, real sand.
I think this was our first time out in the desert.
Yes, the valley. Not easy in L.A. to find a place without, you know, a single dwelling in it, or McDonald's.
Testing.
One of my favorite exchanges,
testing,
too.
Captain, can you hear me?
I'm standing right here.
You're coming through good and loud.
Because I'm standing right here.
I love that.
I do, too. I just think it's so dry and so fun. I love this, because this is stuff I never get to do. You know, when you go outside in a television show, one thing you do is avoid the sun. And, but not David Boyd. He knew I was looking for a 70s kind of handheld, you know, flare kind of thing. And so he just popped that sun right in frame, and I just love that.
Yeah.
It just feels so real.
They were reaching for flares.
Yeah. Oh, all the time. And in fact, we sent back our lens package. David Boyd had the, you know, state-of-the-art new lenses, and he sent them back and got cruddier ones from earlier because they flare more. Because, you know, the new ones are so precise, they can have a light and just read it like you would, like the eye would.
Right.
But he knew I was looking for that feeling, that sort of, that docu-style feel. And so he sent back the lenses after the first couple of days.
David Boyd, another very clever man.
Ah, he really is. If only he had, good humor and energy. And he would be jumping in. He'd be moving more lights than anybody, assuming he used any.
Oh, man.
He's just a treasure. I'm going to hit you with a rubber thing. It's made of rubber, so don't feel bad.
Ooh.
My stuntman's hurt.
That is where we find out what Carlos is all.
Exactly. That's the moment that defines the character that allows you to shoot him later.
Yes.
Because, quite frankly, that was a huge moral dilemma for me. How can I get the captain to shoot a cop in the face and make it all right? You know? And he shot Kaylee.
There you have it right there.
That extra moment of sadism, of, hey, you know, you beat me up, so I'm getting payback. It's not about the job.
And he took a minute to make that decision.
Yeah, exactly.
Two more whacks.
That's the thing that says, okay, buddy, you know what? You're not up to moral spec. You're going down.
This was a good day.
This was fun.
My brother was visiting me on this day.
Oh, cool.
He don't care.
I love you and your brother. It all matters. It all matters. Why are there horses? Sorry, a little shout out to Tim. People on horses, really disturbing to the network because they didn't like the whole Western thing, which is sort of hilarious considering
that was the idea of the show.
Yeah, pretty much. And but it makes perfect sense to me that they would build worlds but not roads. That they would be able to, you know, create a whole world for people. Mr. hates to shoot action and loves shorthand. That's me. that they would build worlds and throw people down on them and not have all the amenities. And, you know, if you train like that, you're going to drive. I mean, they get that one tractor thing, but quite frankly, it makes perfect sense for people to be, you know, to be using horses and to be farming and to be doing all the things that people actually do when they don't have all the, you know, the amenities. And that's kind of, you know, was what the show was about. It was like, I wanted to show, you know, a harder time when things weren't too convenient. Yeah, when things did not just fall into our laps, as they do in this country, in a kind of almost horrific way. It's like when life was physical, which it was even up to the beginning of this century and simply isn't anymore for our society.
Ooh.
The old slow-mo reveal.
I love
that. It's all about this.
And then this was another bit that I really enjoyed about this pilot, this program. This treasure we stole that until now I'm under the impression it's gold, some sort of metallic valuable substance. We find it's food.
It's pretty much power bars. Because that would be treasure.
Yeah.
For them as needed. And, and yeah, that was very deliberate. It's like, you know, we're used to seeing guys fight over money, but you know, the fact of the matter is that what people need on those outer planets is, you know, the very basic stuff.
Oh, I'm sorry about what happened before, but make so much as a sound, the next one goes through your throat.
Carlos, one of my favorite moments was the day you had to shoot him and you. Your gun wouldn't go off.
Oh,
and
yes.
I was like, why can't we just talk this out? And then the three of you, and Sean just was like, come here! And he gave Carlos a big hug. And you all were like, oh, you crazy guys.
Yes. That was a little bit of dramatic license that never made it to the actual.
I had so much fun with that. But then your gun fired and we used that.
I love this silence, the silent moment here.
Oh, yes, the long kind of.
Yep. So, here we are.
Landscape. You know, here we are in the big. Everything is open, everything is quiet. This cannot go well.
Yeah. Poor Malcolm Reynolds. Yeah. Just always getting kicked in the teeth, and he just can't win for triumph.
So tired of you feeling sorry for yourself. I mean, it's great, and this was the mislead that he might shoot you, and then you give the money back. Now, when you guys actually draw, you know, we had the sun on one side,
right,
and then we had it on another. I was arranging the space, so I decided to do the dramatic track around you guys. So that I could change axes and do the fight on the other side.
That was an incredible shot.
Hard to get.
Yeah, we worked on it a couple times.
Two Fry, an old boyfriend of my friend Brooke, the chef.
Get out.
She was telling me about her old boyfriend, Two Fry. I said, oh, I'm going to put that on my pilot.
Yeah, that
shot's
the
there.
Shot. Changing
now,
the axis.
Now the axis is completely changed. Boom.
Oh!
And, you know, you think that, you know, any one of them might be killed at any moment, because you don't really know. You haven't seen the show.
We just watched Zoe go down.
Exactly. So, and then we cut to her husband worrying about her. It's, keep the immediacy. It's so much fun. And so something like this to do in one, you know, not do your traditional, because that's fun. You know, you can't say enough. It was Bill Brumman was our Steadicam operator, and I had him going handheld. Alan Easton took over for the show. He had been doing Buffy. They're both brilliant cameramen, and Bill Brumman did this one, and you know, was miserable because I never let him put on his Steadicam harness. And I was like, no, it's you know, and then but the problem is he's so good that it always looked like a Steadicam. I was like, can you shake it up? Can you do something wrong?
Have a couple drinks?
Yeah.
There's Simon turning into a man of action as soon as his sister's in peril.
Done.
I believe that means bastard.
Yes, I believe it does. I'll always love them. Zoe's still in it. Boom.
I shot
a futuristic Western in college that had a shot very much like that one of Zoe.
I love that. It's kind of an eye for an eye exchange there.
Why you're not taking cover, I'm not sure, but I love this exchange between the two of you. This is your relationship in a nutshell. And
bang,
shoots the horse.
I just about died when I read that in the script. This is one of the bits that I said I have to be in the show.
In a month of Sundays, I never thought we'd get away with it. I thought people will be all up in our shit. They will hate us for this. And in fact, people thought it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the practical thing to do in that situation. People, and you know, people are dying. People are shooting at each other trying to live. And it's the practical thing to do, but you know, people don't see it that way.
Right. They're okay with people shooting people, but if you shoot a horse
or a bunny,
you gotta be worried a little bit.
Yeah.
Here come the Reavers.
This was one of Lonnie's things, one of the guys from Zoic, was that she would come in backwards to slow itself down.
Yeah.
Before it hit atmosphere, which I think is lovely. Meanwhile, back on the ship. Why, there's danger at every turn.
Ah, that was a neat little shot going underneath the grate.
Because we had that. The ramp where the lights were underneath the grate, and Bill actually had to do it with a little video monitor. He couldn't keep his eye on the lens. He had to just sort of almost guess.
Because you'd have to be underneath the camera.
Yeah, it was just physically impossible.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of very challenging little shots in here.
Well, we had the luxury. We had so much time, 24 whole days. I was just laughing. I was like, what am I going to do for all those days? We kept getting out early. Now, a lot of the stuff with Simon and the gun, you'll see how we frame. He's in front of the desert, and we have a very beautiful desert set that you can see. That's another thing I said to Carlos. You knocked that guy three times. He's up like 10 minutes later. He's like, well, you know, we studied bludgeoning in the academy first year. By the time you graduate, you just forget everything. It's just, I'm a bad cop. He always said that. He killed me. And then the horses.
This was a fun day.
Yeah. I remember very well you sitting on your horse and me sitting on the shot maker, which is on the back of a truck, a big arm that can go up and down and rides out the back of a truck. And we were both about to start riding. And you looked at me and you was just like, we are having too much fun. It was, you know what? It was a beautiful moment because it was so inclusive. Like a lot of actors would be, look at me on my horse. And you looked at me and it was like, no, you and I, you're on your horse. You're on your shot maker. I'm on mine. And I was like, this is just the two of us having so much fun. Fighting the, see again, framing out the desert because we'd lost it by then.
Right.
But it made sense, you know, to be above the character just in terms of his dilemma. And this, you know, this is one of those moments.
This is another moment that made me just desperate to be in the show.
Yeah, where we did have a backdrop. Anybody makes so much. Just not a lot of time. And, you know, Carlos doing that himself, he was, well, I can go back. And with no blood, with no, you know, nothing really exploited, you just sell the abruptness of the moment. This is what we do. Oh, coming up on a fun little trick, when we closed the door early and didn't tell you and Adam.
This is true. We did this shot a number of times.
I'm there going, we have to tell them. We have to tell them. What if somebody, and everybody around me is going, don't tell them. Don't tell them. That backdrop.
So we pitched him off about 8 feet then, drop, and then he, whoa.
Just made it. And we were laughing and laughing.
Yeah, I pooped him that day.
It really was something.
I just saw the landing gear retract. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, no, the attention to detail is phenomenal. This was something interesting to me in writing it, was that Wash, who's kind of a, you know, again, wacky guy, when he gets into the most tense situation of having to fly brilliantly, he's totally calm. And everybody else is totally frantic.
Exactly.
And Wash is in the zone.
Over his shoulder.
And then you'll see in the message, we completely went back on that.
Yes.
He's like, wow, lady!
Well, that was actually after Alan Tudyk got a hold of an Xbox and said, this frantic,
by the way,
frenetic,
yes. Sorry, important moment. Originally was the first time you had ever shown, you know, made it very clear how much you cared about her.
I remember how you directed that bit, was that it was almost like a dance, that pushing her away.
Yeah.
Was a smoothness, was a separating us.
You guys
gently.
So soulful in that scene.
So Xbox, shots, huh? Well, I was just, he learned a kind of frenetic panic when he was playing Xbox, and he thought his piloting should reflect that a little.
And I said to Tim on the day, because I was there, pretty much going back completely on the character, he's like, yeah, for the laugh. I'm like, okay. All of this stuff is just stunning. I mean, the work they were doing, I've just never seen the like.
Can't keep this up. They get a beat, they're going to lock us down. Kaylee, how we doing?
Gonna need a little push here. And Kaylee's little bare feet.
You want me to go for full birth?
Not just yet. She's just hanging on.
You know where the press regulator is?
And this is a tiny, tiny space, the engine room. I mean, you know, two people don't fit abreast in these little things. We lensed it up with the wider lenses to make it look big. It looks huge.
I also really appreciate the design of the engine itself, that it's just, rather than lights and neon,
it was very important to have a moving, giant moving part. That everything,
again, metal and wires.
Physical. Oh, that zoom. That zoom was so 70s to me, but like bad 70s TV, not like cool, Altman Western. I felt so bad about that. But the physicality of things is so crucial.
The hell is...
Look where
another bit I just enjoy that Jane has got no clue.
None whatsoever. It's very simple.
No, it's really simple.
Here's the look that says it all.
The magnetic grappler, which we never really did get a clear shot of.
We get the idea. You're beating yourself up. Such an ugly construct, that Reaver ship.
Yeah, and kind of asymmetrical, which Janus and Simultor is always scary. And lopsided and strange.
Yes. Is there something you can't do? That was a switch that you had to add later.
Yes, to do that. the firefly effect in atmosphere. The engine, which David Boyd ran that at 6 frames a second to make it go faster and light it up.
Very nice. Now, I love, this is the shot I just love.
Yeah.
The atmosphere igniting.
Mm-hmm. And the idea that they didn't actually kill him. They just got away.
Yes.
It wasn't like we defeated our enemies. It was like we lived. Now, if we look carefully, I believe we'll see Alan is not holding anything. Nobody noticed. We had to pull the chair back to get the shot, and nobody noticed that he was miming it, and we still used it.
That was terrible.
we
what kind of crap you guys getting away with?
That's just... And this is one of my favorite moments. Again, because Serenity is such an important character, and if Kaylee loves her, I love her.
Exactly. There's a relationship there.
We should have just enough left in us to hit
it. Now, magically, he gets
us. Yes, he actually has a hand. He actually could afford a steering wheel for this shot.
I hope we got paid today. We did.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
And because he is such a stud of flying, this Amazonian gorgeous woman must have him. Remember you did you did one with your thumb where you're like, get out of here, you crazy
kid. Get out of here, you guys.
And Lisa Lassick, the editor, put it in. I was like, get that out of there. She looks nice. I'm like, oh, stop. We made fun of that a lot. You crazy kid. You wacky sex havers. And the engines go off because it's space. And
you should really have the young doctor look at this.
I love this scene. Ron, you know. Also, just so soulful. So
he can do no wrong.
So, you know, such a man of peace, not at peace.
Out here.
And I love that.
Layers upon layers of acting challenges.
And plus words and inflection and all kinds of things. There could be pauses.
I love this half light.
Yes, well, this was done very deliberately, this half-light, for the last shot of the sequence, which was, again, more kind of artsy than the rest of the show, you know, more studied. It was, you know, because I really wanted to highlight the idea of the prostitute giving the priest benediction. This line kills me. That kills me. How much, you know... This hurts him, but I really, you know, it was one of those moments that was in my head from the very beginning.
Where you ought to be.
And so I had the half light here because I wanted to drop back and put them in silhouette for this shot. And look at that set too. I mean, it's just an emotional moment, but it's such a sumptuous set. And one of the comments was, we wanted the show to look, the set to look more like, you know, sumptuous, like Genie's bottle. I'm like, did you? What, huh?
The shot I gave you.
You want it brighter? What?
So long.
Genie should have such a bottle already.
Then we'll find a place.
This is one of those things where, you know, Ron and Marina really sort of choked me up, and then Sean and Summer did the exact same thing.
Yes.
I take no shame in calling her River because... Sean called her Summer in so many takes.
He did.
He'd be like, I have to save my sister Summer. My sister River.
I love this.
You know, I had a whole thing, by the way, there where he says, I will always find you no matter what occurs, that kind of
you
thing.
You didn't need it.
I changed it to, you're a dummy.
Perfect.
And especially because he's talked about how smart she is. It's like, that's a brother talking.
Yeah.
Oh, they kill me there. And the way she touches his face, I need to know you're real, is like the way she touches the ship. She's very... You know, the way she acts is very preternatural.
Here's an interesting thing that Mal is tuned into what Jane did.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, it all turned out. And also something we did get to pay off very heavily in Ariel.
Yes.
He tried to make a deal with you, right?
Yes.
And I just love what.
How come you didn't turn on me, Jane?
I love the look on Adam's face. I love that from you, and then I love the look, how calm you are about the idea of him betraying you. And then the look on his face there. Right here when he says, that one when he says, that'll be an interesting day, kind of squints. And then, boom, he hits Simon, because
that's their relationship.
It's just, you know, everything isn't clean cut. And you think, oh, wait a minute, maybe this guy, he is a worthy either foe or, you know, compatriot.
They're behind Behind his head were the boobs of the bridge?
The boobs of the bridge. They're just enormous, and we don't know where they came from. But every time they get in a shot, they're just, they're, you know. Here aboard the Jane Mansfield, we do crime. I'm
confused. I find this interesting that even having survived it, I think Simon here has an idea as to the kind of world he is now in. He's experienced some very real danger.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, there on the left of frame, there's one of those little light thingies.
Yes, the little
bounce thing.
Tin foil.
Just threw it on the dash. There it is, yeah, to get the light onto you, which is perfect.
Till you find it better.
You know what I love? I love when you scratch your face.
When I scratch my face?
Yeah,
you know why I do that?
Itching?
That's right.
All right. There it is. Brilliant, brilliant.
Guilty.
How do I know you won't kill
me? The big exposed pipes.
Yeah.
Just that thing looks like a hunk of crap.
You can't talk about Serenity that way. I loved having the, you know, the wide, just really seeing the space, and the two of you opposed the way you were the first time you met on either side of the frame, but with a different dynamic. The idea that you warm up to this guy, that you'll take on him and the enormous amount of trouble he brings. We don't really explain why. We sort of do. But it's more just about, you know, that's you. That's the captain making those decisions.
We're still flying.
That's not much.
It's enough.
Well, we're done. We have actually talked and talked and talked. Do you have any final words you'd like to say, Nathan, before I kill you?
The end.
Well, that's new. That's really just, that's beautiful. That's really poignant.
It's
Did you spend all night thinking of that?
I wrote it.
And this man has a Saturn. I'm leaving.
Thank you very much, Mr. Joss.
No, thank you. Well, no,
this afternoon is me.
Thank me. It's morning.
And have I mentioned thanks for the job?
Pretty much every day.
This was a very fun job.